Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Duke Health, offering food, medication delivery, and transportation to communities hardest hit by COVID-19. It's all through a special partnership with North Carolina agencies and 16 community-based organizations. Learn more about Duke's COVID-19 response at dukehealth.org.
Latina to Latina is a show that highlights women who are blazing a trail for the rest of us in business, entertainment, technology, literature, science, and every other area of our society. Host Alicia Menendez lets you listen in on intimate conversations with some of the most fascinating Latinas in the country. Women like workers' rights icon Dolores Huerta, television star Gina Torres, UN President Maria Espinosa Garces, Birchbox CEO Katia Beauchamp, and In the Heights playwright Kiara Alegria Hudis. Find Latina to Latina wherever you get your podcasts and visit latinatolatina.com for more.
This is Tested from WUNC, a look at how we're responding to the day's challenges in North Carolina and the South. I'm Dave DeWitt.
So here is my message to anyone who is yet to get a shot. Get a vaccine today. Don't wait until you or a family member is sick and going on a ventilator. Don't wait until we run out of hospital beds. Don't wait until skyrocketing numbers threaten to shut businesses or cancel sports. Don't wait until you infect somebody you love. Get a vaccine today.
18 months into a pandemic that saw a million of us in North Carolina get COVID and nearly 14,000 of us die, we are at another crossroads. It comes after the medical miracle of an effective vaccine. After Governor Roy Cooper, who you heard from just now, decided it was best to first get it into all 100 counties. After an army of volunteers assembled to build from scratch large-scale vaccine clinics to hand out for free a life-saving vaccine. 55% of us willingly got that shot to protect ourselves, our families, and our fellow North Carolinians. The other 45%? Many of them simply chose not to. The other evening, I drove past my local pharmacy slash hardware store. You know, the place where you can get heart medication and pick up some wood screws in one trip. The well-lit sign along the road said simply, COVID vaccines, please walk in. That's it. Just walk in. Please. It will save your life, and not coincidentally and potentially, a lot of other lives. The sign made me mad. This is how easy it has become. The hardware store has more free vaccines than it can give away, yet COVID surges. And while the sign was polite, I'm finding it harder to be the same.
So how mad should we be? I mean, you know, I think there's a justifiable amount of frustration.
Rose Hoban is the editor and founder of North Carolina Health News, a registered nurse, and a frequent tested guest when the pandemic raged last year and we knew so little about it. Here, I've asked her to help me with my anger management.
I still think that there's a lot of outreach that needs to be done. You know, there's folks who still can't maybe get time off work or can't get to a place where the vaccines are happening. And I'll say I'm mad at this idea of pushing back against like going out and bringing vaccines to people. Like, that's important because there are places like, why not bring the vaccine into your workplace and have, you know, like half your workers or a third of your workers get a shot and then say to them, all right, if you feel like crap tomorrow, then you can take the day off. Like, there's those kinds of considerations that still need to be made. You know, I was talking to a friend about it who made this tremendous point, which is that, you know what else has happened this month? There's been a multi-billion dollar settlement with Purdue Pharma. We're asking people to trust the pharmaceutical industry that has not been shown to be terribly trustworthy over the past 20 or 30 years, right? So, you know, there, like, it's that whole thing, you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. You know, the sort of institutionalized medicine has kind of made a deal with pharma, and, you know, we're sort of chipping away at that whole pharma influence on medicine, but it's still out there. And so now you're saying to people, no, it's cool. It's cool. We're all good. You can trust pharma, when there's a lot of mistrust of pharma out there, right? So there's a lot of reasons still that people are hesitant. I think there's going to be some percentage of people who are going to be utterly intransigent, right? And we could blame politics. We could blame misinformation. I'm reading a book right now about autism, right? And the way that, you know, autism has been blamed on vaccinations falsely. I want to make that clear. But you know, there's lots of distrust out there, which I think has been well earned by the pharmaceutical industry.
Right.
And now we're trying to overcome that like that. Like it's just not viable, right? So, you know, I think now's the time to double down. Now's the time. It's been interesting. I don't know if you noticed this, Dave, but the numbers on how many people in North Carolina got vaccinated last week actually ticked up for the first time in, what was it, 3-4 weeks.
Right.
And I'm guessing that we're going to see them tick up again. And so, you know, we're starting to see people kind of going, oh, golly, okay, now it's really in my community. If you look at where people are hospitalized in the state, it's that triad and northwestern part of the state. It's the counties to the west of Mecklenburg, like Rutherford and Lincoln County, where we're seeing, you know, case rates and hospitalizations going up. And it's those counties in the Sandhills, like Hope County has only got like 29% vaccinated. And, you know, it's all around there where we're seeing hospitalizations go up. These are places that maybe, especially that Sandhills area, maybe they didn't see a lot of cases, a lot of hospitalizations and a lot of deaths in the past year, but now they're gonna. And I think that's the thing that's gonna convince people. That and conversations with all the surveys show, all the research shows, the way to convince people is when people see their family and friends getting vaccinated, and then they have conversations with their physicians, trusted physicians. And like, hey, do you have a primary care physician that you've had like a 20-year relationship with right now, Dave?
Yeah.
You do? See, I don't. Yeah. My physician's practice closed. So now I'm with one of the major university practices. So I see a different person all the time. So, right. So like, how do I have a trusted conversation with a person that, you know, and I go in maybe once a year for a checkup. So how do you have this trusted relationship when the healthcare system is just rearranging itself underneath our feet? Right.
Right.
So there's a lot of reasons beyond sort of the crass political ones that were being offered why people aren't getting vaccinated.
We've chatted over the past year and a half or so. You've been pretty prescient about things, looking forward out 2-3 months. So I'm going to ask you again to be a little bit, be your forecaster hat on. What happens if a large segment of the population doesn't get vaccinated between now and, say, December?
Okay, so speaking of prescience, I actually made a public prediction on Twitter last week. Woohoo! And I talked about how we would probably peak out at around 1,600 hospitalizations. I'm going to revise that upward. Just looking at the past few weeks, or the past week, excuse me, we're having like 100 hospitalizations a day. And we're now over 1,000. So Delta is, you know, people saying it's 1,000 times more infective. Basically, when you're making the virus, it's a viral load that's 1,000 times more than prior variants of the disease. We're not quite sure if Delta is more fatal. We just know that it makes more of the virus, which means maybe it spreads more, which maybe leads to more fatalities. So, you know, what we end up seeing is, and as you and I talked about last year, I think about cases, hospitalizations, death, like they're like the light you see from a distant star. you know, what we're seeing, hospitalizations, is disease that was acquired 2-3 weeks ago. And when we start seeing deaths, that will be disease that was acquired, you know, 8 weeks prior. So we're still not seeing the peak on new deaths from this. Apparently, and, you know, looking at what happened like in places like India, Delta kind of burns its way through the population because it's so infective in a matter of a couple months. And, you know, I made that initial prediction of like peaking at around 1,600 cases because I think about, oh, okay, well, in January, our peak hospitalization was at about 4,000 people. Multiply that by, you know, 40%, which is the number of folks in the state who are unvaccinated, and so you get 1,600. But, you know, back in January, we still had people were staying at home. They were in the house. They were masked up. They were socially distanced. And now people are out. I mean, I was in a store the other day. I was the only person in there who had a mask on. And I was like, okay. So, you know, so we may see more. And but maybe the good news is that it'll burn through the population and like burn itself out. Like it, we're following kind of a classic epidemic curve, right? Where it goes up, it peaks, and then it, you know, comes down and there's a long tail. You know, so I think we're going to see a lot more hospital. It might even double from where we are right now. I'm guessing that, you know, we're kind of doing the climb on the epidemic curve. We're going to see hundreds more hospitalizations. And then it'll peak out, and then it'll, you know, people will kind of, okay, I'll go out and get vaccinated. Okay, I'll wear the mask. But because there is, and the good news is that this is happening in summer when people can spend more of their time outside, and, you know, there's more viral dispersal, you know, and that hopefully, knock wood, it will burn itself out before the fall and kids go back to school.
Rose Hoban is the editor and founder of North Carolina Health News. I'm going to give the final word on all this to Dr. Cameron Wolf. He's an infectious disease specialist at Duke Health. He's seen countless COVID patients, and now he's seeing a surge of more of them, months after many of them could have gotten the vaccine.
It is absolutely a fatiguing element to see patients in front of you when you know that there was something that person could have done to avoid that situation. That is hard to face. You know, different people make choices for different reasons. It's because of their understanding of risk. It's because of the data that they've received. It's because of personal choice in some situations, or their you know, health literacy and availability of good information. But for whatever the reason, to see large numbers of unvaccinated people in the hospital really struggling, and often at that point in their decision-making, quite regretful for the situations that they've come through and now find themselves in, that takes a toll. I mean, I'd be wrong to say that some of my nursing staff, some of my medical staff and colleagues haven't felt fatigued and taken and internalized a lot of that struggle. I mean, that's real.
That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Dave DeWitt.